It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. Even if that powerful truth means it's time to get ready, set, and play ball. But what if being an athlete, and there's lots of them out there, meant you really couldn't be out in that world, in that athletic world, in the way that you want to be? In other words, you didn't feel like you could be out on the field, on the court, on the rink, whatever that passionate place is that you love to bring your athletic self to. You couldn't be you, your truest self, your gay self. Now, I know this in colleges and universities and professional sports all across the globe. There's a pretty big fear of being outed as a gay athlete, and it's pretty much ever present, even in the most forward-thinking world that we think we're starting to live in today. So just how do you play the sport and make it a career is the big question that we're going to be exploring today on the Coming Out Lounge. How do you still be true to yourself and do the thing you want to do in that athletic world that you fell in love with? Well, to help us out and to give us some advice is today's guest on the Coming Out Lounge, which is Julie Shaw. She's the head women's basketball coach for Laverne University, which is here in Laverne, California. It's kind of a suburb of the greater LA area basin. And she's not just a coach. She's been an accomplished athlete. She was a four-time letter winner at University of California, Riverside. And she's done a lot to really find her way through this athletic world from athlete to coach and also as a lesbian. So joining us as we explore the foul shots and the winning baskets of being out, being a proud athlete and a coach in a world that just may be trying to hold you back from being the most authentic you is Coach Julie Shaw from Laverne University. Welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm so glad we met. We met a couple of months ago through a mutual friend who's also in the coaching world, and I'd always wanted to have a coach or somebody from the athletic world in here that's been really living this life and everything. So I'm really excited that you're here to kind of share your perspectives and your points of view with us today.
Good, thanks. I hope my perspective can help someone or, you know, give some more information and resources out there.
Absolutely. So for all of you that are wondering, okay, is Julie's voice like really weird or something? She's been on the road with her team traveling. I think you just came back from a game, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So a lot of yelling on the sidelines. Yeah. I'm a super active coach, so I'm very vocal.
So I'm wondering, should I ask, did you guys win or did you not?
No, we didn't, but it was definitely a game that made us better. Awesome. So we're Division III at University of Laverne, and we played Division I, a Division I team, UC Santa Barbara. So nice. that was to me, it was a great competition.
Yep.
It made us better. And I mean, if our girls can compete with them, then I think we'll have a great chance in conference this year.
Awesome. Awesome. That's so cool. Yes. I know you're always kind of pushing the envelope. And for those of you that are going to be listening to this podcast, go check out Julie's bio on the show page that you can see all the accomplishments she's done, not only as an athlete, but as a coach. So let's kind of dive right in. So obviously, you have an interest in sports. It isn't just something that, okay, think I'll just become a basketball coach. This is something that's been part of your DNA for quite a long time, right?
Yeah. So I actually fell into coaching, and maybe a lot of coaches will say that too. It wasn't what I first thought I would be when I grew up, but I went and played professionally overseas after I graduated, and I knew I wanted to get my education. So doing research over there, I knew when I came back, I wanted to look for a graduate program.
Right.
And again, using sports, I found a graduate assistantship at University of Redlands, where I was there for a year. But through that, I found kind of my passion for people. Mm-hmm. And it kind of fit all the things that I was looking for. And it's a job that always keeps you on your toes. You never know what's going to happen. And it's a really unique career to get into. So I stuck with it, yeah. And I've been finding my way. And sure enough, I'm a head coach now, which is crazy for me to think of sometimes.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, congrats on all your success. And I mean, literally reading your bio, I was like, wow, this gal has really done a lot. So that's really cool. But my real question is, this being in athletics wasn't just because you happened to be a lesbian, was it?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
And I think this is an assumption that a lot of people from the outside world looking in, they'll see an athlete and they'll see like a woman in basketball or maybe a woman doing a more male-dominated sports like golf or something. And immediately they make the assumption, oh, they're the lesbians, which isn't necessarily true, is it?
Oh, no. But I think with sports and especially with women in sports, there is going to be that assumption. And I think even with particular sports that, just like you referred to, that women may get scrutinized a bit more.
And why do you think that is?
You know, I have no idea. I think it's just because in a male-dominated society, I think if women tried to either push the envelope within their sport or to challenge entering a more male-dominated sport arena, then I think they start to kind of just push the boundaries where people think that's out of the norm.
Well, I think
so if it's out of the norm, then now what labels can we give them?
Right. And I think you're spot on. I think this out of the norm thing, and you know, you and I both as part of the gay community, we're already out of the norm. So suddenly there's a lot of that starts to happen. But as you were speaking, and as I did a lot of research around this topic today, I think in the athletic world, it's one of the places where, for women especially, there's a lot of breaking the glass ceiling, so to speak. And I know as a coach, you probably come across this a lot. I know in the conversations you and I had at dinner that one night, and then before that you're very much battling a male-dominated world as a coach as well, right?
Oh, yeah, especially in women's athletics and the coaching arena. In women's basketball specifically, you can see the decline of even women coaches. Mm. And so even working with the Alliance of Women Coaches and the NCAA Coaches Academy, that's one of the things that we're targeting is one, how to just keep women in coaching. Because I think a lot of men are either getting the jobs, head coaching jobs specifically,
right.
But there's definitely a higher percentage of men that are coaching than women in women's sports.
But one of the reasons I really wanted to have you come do the podcast was partially for what we were just talking about, that there is this male-female dominated sort of thing going on, that males really dominate the sports world, and then when they get the coaches in, the male coaches are still dominating that world. But then there's women that are trying to, you know, really be coaches in lots of different arenas. I mean, I, you know, since you and I met, I spoke with people that are, you know, basketball, football, flag football sort of stuff, swim coaches, you know, you name it, weightlifting coaches, all this. And the women really have a hard time because there is that kind of sexual gender thing that gets overlaid. Oh, well, you know, they've got to be, you know, a lesbian, or sometimes I've actually heard it said they're a dyke, you know. Mm. And I don't know, I would say I can see that to some degree because the women coaches I know happen to all be lesbians. But then when I look at the high schools that my daughters have attended and stuff, I see women coaches that aren't lesbian. And so what percentage do you, you know, just off the top of your head, or maybe you know a number because I know you're involved in a lot of different collegiate and athletic organizations, do you have a feel for what percentage of women coaches are actually gay or lesbian?
You know, I wouldn't be able to give out a percentage.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, I don't know how we would be able to do that, especially when you have so many women that I think either they may not see that as the issue, they might not want to recognize that, or you still have a lot of coaches that are fearful, because you know I used to be one of those coaches that wanted to speak out about it, and there are some that really want their privacy. They do live out to certain people in their lives or within their professional community. but they just might not feel comfortable or want to speak out about it. But I do respect that as their choice.
Sure. So I have to confess, I ask you that question to prove a point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I think this is one of the things that happens is suddenly everybody thinks, oh, because you're an out lesbian coach, you must know all the out lesbian coaches in the country, right? Just like they assume that all of us gay people know all the gay people that live in Southern California, you know?
Yeah.
And I purposefully did that. Sorry, I did it because
I wanted... No worries, that was fun.
Because I wanted, for those that are listening, I know most of them are people who are coming out, thinking about coming out, but I wanted to help them kind of see the sort of stuff you can show up in that you least expect, and somebody's going to make these stupid assumptions, you know? Yeah. And one of the things that came out of what you said, though, and I think it's a really powerful place to kind of like segue to is, you know, you honor that someone doesn't want to be out and you yourself have made the choice to be out. But I know for you, it isn't like you're walking around the halls of academia going, I'm an out lesbian coach. Yes. Now back off. Right.
Not at all. Not at all.
In fact, I think it's probably secondary for you in your role as a coach, wouldn't it be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just another piece of the puzzle of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, even with programs like this, if people know my story and they want me to come and talk about it, I will.
Right.
So now if they consider that out, then that's great. But like you said, I'm not waving a flag. I'm not seeking out things that, you know, hey, let me talk about this or let me be a part of that. It's just... I'm more so of, hey, if you need me to say something or if you need my help, then I'll be there to do that.
Sure. And I think this is where in our own community, and I'm kind of saying this for those that are listening specifically, as you're coming out of the closet, you're going to be faced with some of these moments where somebody's going to tell you, oh, you're not gay enough because you're not out in this way, or you're not, mm-hmm. you know, not good enough as a gay or lesbian because you're not being an advocate, so to speak. And I just want to, you know, really assure you that you can be out however you damn well choose to be out. Nobody gets to tell you how to do this. Now, it does come down to some tricky spaces at times because you can be in a social situation in our own gay community and people can start to back you up against a wall. But it's no different than someone outside of our community backing you up against a wall because you are gay. Within our own community, I've seen it happen numerous times where people are like, really start bashing somebody because, oh, you're not out enough. And I have a good girlfriend that I actually speak with on a lot of the speaking panels that I go to, who she's chosen not to be out at work. And she always gets a little bit beat up by the audience, mm-hmm. as well as by some members that sometimes show up on the panel. And my personal opinion, I'd love to get you to weigh in on this, which I think you kind of already did, is to each their own. You know,
exactly.
There's some reason that it's important to them to live their life the way they're choosing to live it.
Because especially even on the coaching front, it's, you know, I do know coaches that, because I mean, even the other day I was tagged in this picture by OutSports, and it kind of like hashtagged or dubbed me as the only out college women's basketball coach. And you know, and it's crazy enough that title used to be held by Sherry Morrell, who isn't in coaching anymore. And so, and I thought like, hey, I'm out, I'm there, I'll talk about stuff. And I think there are other out coaches. I don't think I'm the only one.
Right.
But maybe it's because I do different engagements where mm-hmm. people see me, but people are out in their own ways where they're out to their teams.
Right.
They're out to their teams' families. They're out to their coworkers. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of crazy because that just happened in maybe the past couple of weeks or so.
That's interesting.
And then I was wondering even back then, you know, did it matter the divisions? Because, you know, I'm Division III, I'm Division I. Whereas Division I, I think, is where most people are urging other people to come out and speak because Division I does get a lot of the attention.
Right.
And they are the ones that are in the media and are up on that higher pedestal at times. Sure. And Division III, you know, we might not get that much coverage. So there was a time when I didn't even know if my voice even mattered.
But, you know, as you're talking, one of the things, and this happened for me when I first started really going and speaking and what became better and better known on the national front as the coming out coach, it's like suddenly there were things being said that made me feel like, well, wait, I don't really want to hold that responsibility. You know, I don't want to be the, you know, I don't have the need, number one. Number two, to be known that way, you know. And as you said, oh, the only out, you know, lesbian coach in, you know, Division III college basketball. And then you know how things can be taken. Oh, she's the only out coach, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfair because we don't ask for this. We go stand in our power and in our ability to share and advocate and whatever we want to do. And it's just amazing to me how it can snowball really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Has it ever had an impact deeply or impact even a little bit in your professional life to be out?
You know, I can always wonder just because I think in the hiring process to where, because, you know, I did my doctoral degree. And so I did my dissertation on safe space climates for lesbian and bisexual college women's basketball players. And so with that, when, you know, I'm going on interviews and sitting in front of different administration athletic directors, there is in the back of my head is when they then ask me, hey, what'd you do your dissertation on? Do they then assume, you know, either I'm gay or how will this affect our university, our athletic department, our programs? Mm-hmm. So that's probably the biggest thing professionally that's been in the back of my head.
Yeah.
If people do either see that on my resume or just know some of the things I've been involved in, because I've always stood by, if you ask, then I'll tell you.
I think that's a really beautiful way to position it. If you ask, then I will tell you. And again, this is only for those of us who feel that that's the way we want to be. I'm pretty much the same way, I guess. Mm-hmm. I do this every week, so it's kind of like you can't help but know this is who I am. But in certain instances, yes, there'll be places that, you know, if somebody asks, I will tell them. You know, there's other places where I will be fairly out. One of my favorite places, I think I've said this before on the podcast, is I love being on an airplane and somebody strikes up a conversation with me and it's like, so what do you do? You know, the inevitable question that everybody asks. So what do you do? And I'm like, well, and what I always say is, well, I'm not sure you'd like me if I tell you. And they always get like a weird look on their face. And I said, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I believe so much in what I do and I love what I do and it makes me happy. And it's interesting how when I do that with people, it kind of breaks the barrier down. Even if they aren't completely embracing of the gay and lesbian community, it's almost like this guy kind of just made this fun, a little bit self-deprecating, and then kind of came in and showed his real transparent self. But I can imagine that at times some of the stereotypes also show up in your work, because you are working with young women, that there's a lot of assumptions that get made. Lesbian coaching women's basketball, I just hate the assumptions that I can imagine get made about what you might be doing with your girls.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other fear part of it, too, is, you know, because I think you've heard different either cases about coaches either getting fired, whether it's accusations that are made against them or whatever it may be. So, you know, those little things are in the back of my head. But I truly believe, like, I do things the right way. And I'm fully transparent with my team. So, and they know all the different things that I'm involved with and do. So I don't hide that from them. I don't hide that from my athletic administration. I've been truly, you know, been given the greatest athletic department to work for. Fully supportive, all the staff there. I just did a diversity and inclusion talk for them on the topic, and all of, you know, the coaches there were super receptive. And I think it starts at the top with our athletic director too.
Sure.
So I've been really lucky with.
But you brought up something that is very vital, is the more comfortable you can feel being transparent, and comfortable is kind of the operative word there, because it kind of envelopes around the environment that you're in. But the more comfortable you can feel being transparent, I believe it is, the easier to educate everyone around you. You can talk the real talks about this is who I am. And this doesn't mean that I'm in the locker room checking my girls out and waiting for them. You know, it's all this stuff. It's, this is my job. My job is my job. And the other stuff is outside of this realm. So I'm curious, what about other athletes? You know, you've got to have athletes that are showing up in your world that you either your own sense of, you know, quote, the wonderful gaydar, so to speak, goes off. Or you probably have encountered a few athletes, I would assume, that have finally come to you and said, hey, Coach Julie, I need to talk to you. How does that work in your world? Do you get a lot of students coming in and saying, help me out, so to speak?
I love that you brought that up, because I was going to stop you and say, I need to comment on this. Because I think, one, why we coach is because we care about the young men and women. And we want to be, one, really great role models. For me, I really want to help them reach their goals when they're done playing. And it just comes from a genuine care to help young people grow up and navigate that 18 to 22-year-old, you know, crazy time in their life. Because that is a period that I experienced personally, and where I wanted a coach to be able to talk to. And I always tell the story of, I used to walk by my coach's office, like, this is the day I'm going to tell her. This is the day that I need to get this off my chest. And as coaches, or anybody, even if you're not a coach, as a mentor to people, people will look to you for advice. And that's been one of the things that also I had an athlete that I've told her many a time. She's kind of like my my inspiration to talk about this. She was my inspiration to do my dissertation. Because when we first got her onto our campus, on one of the campuses that I coached on, she was not the same person that we had recruited. And she was exhibiting, you know, just being withdrawn, not going to class, and not working well with her teammates. And so that's where you had to step in and kind of, one, like, share your story. To help them get to a better place in their life, because at that time she had just come out to her family, and that was really rough. And so just seeing the impact that coming out can have on young people, and when they come to you for help, like, the first thing you want to do is just thank them for coming to you and thank them for trusting you with that piece of them. But I definitely feel a responsibility to my student athletes that if that's something that they're dealing with, or even if they had a great coming out process, to still just to be able to talk to them how we talk to everybody else, to ask them how their day's going, how's your girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, all those types of things. So, but the student athlete piece, that's the one I'm most passionate about. That if I can help them out in any ways in regards to this, then I will help them with that.
Well, and I know in my world, as I've stepped wider into my reach and what I do with my speaking and coaching and everything, there's always an intersection between the coming out story and somebody else's story. Not necessarily the coming out story, it can be, but there's always an intersection that happens when I start to share, so this is what I went through. And I'm quite sure somebody here is struggling with something that they don't want anybody to really know about. It could be that they have an illness. It could be that they have an abusive parent. They could have an abusive spouse. It could be that whatever it is. And, you know, from that mentoring space, I think sometimes, and this is for those that are listening, as you start to go through the process, or maybe you're just on the other side, don't ever be afraid, so to speak, to share yourself. Do it in ways that's comfortable for you. But I've had numerous people come up to me after talks, and many of my talks are not gay and lesbian, you know, they're not gay and lesbian audiences. They're audiences of many different kinds of sexual orientations. And I've had people come up afterwards and say, you know, what you said just had such a huge impact on me because I'm struggling with XYZ, you know, and they can connect the dots to our coming out stories of how we struggled, and maybe we didn't struggle, or maybe we did, or maybe we had a good experience. And you know, it's just amazing. In fact, I just got an email from a woman the other day that is somewhat a coming out story, that her husband came out of the closet and she read an article I wrote. And it was about being a a good gay parent. And she goes, I read that article and I wish my daughters and my experience had been similar to yours, because my husband came out and it hasn't been that. So you never know when you're mentoring how these things are going to help someone, especially, like you said, the 18 to 22 year olds, because just because you may have the coming out experience doesn't mean they're not hiding something in their life, and it may not be their own coming out journey.
Oh, and for me, like when you say that is, you know, our mutual friend, she's the one that kind of nudged me into sharing mine.
Yep.
And the lessons that I've learned from that is that, you know, the coming out process, it's continual. So mm-hmm. you might enter into different communities, just meet different people, but in a way, you always have to come out every single time. Depending on your comfort level again.
Yeah.
But when I started doing more presentations on this to other coaches and to other students, the quote that I always start out my presentations with is, speak even though your voice shakes. Mm. And so, because that's how I felt. I felt that every time it was a little nerve-wracking for me, and I was scared at what would come out from it. But every time I've done it, I've gotten stronger every time I have told my story. And I feel like when you tell your story, it gives permission to others to tell theirs, just like you were saying.
Right.
And I think it's just powerful on both ends. One, it helps strengthen you, but I think you're also giving that gift of strength to somebody else.
Oh, absolutely.
And hopefully that like has a domino effect for people, because just like you've had many coaches after I've done talking engagements where they'll come up to me and they'll share their story, and it's really great to see that happening.
Well, I think the piece that you brought up about speak even though your voice shakes, and I love that quote. That's a beautiful quote to start anything with. It shows right out the gate, I'm here and I care about you. And I'm here to demonstrate something to you that happened in my life, so that when you're having those fears, you know, it could be, in fact, I had talked to a young man just a couple of weeks ago. He's like, I'm out, but I'm really, really struggling with the family acceptance thing. And he goes, mm-hmm. and I don't even want to go pursue this higher education that my family is telling me I have to pursue. But I feel like I can't hit him with yet another thing. I just came out to them, so they're dealing with that. But I don't want to go to college to become a doctor. Mm. And I kind of got quiet and I just said, well, think about what you went through to come out. You're going to use the same energy, the same courage, the same, you know, commitment to do this second piece of the work now, you know? And so this is why I love that we're having this conversation, because it takes it from the coming out conversation to anybody can be affected by this stuff, anybody in your ranks. So as a coach, have you ever experienced any deep down discrimination or anything because of being a lesbian?
No, I don't think I have. I've been truly lucky, with my experience. So that's something that, you know, maybe I can't fully relate with others.
Right.
But I hope that I'm able to empathize with them.
Sure.
Because we do with other coaches, it's, we share the similarities, and it's like, that could be me.
Right.
So I always take that into consideration, but you know, if I were to move on or if I were to enter another career, I do think there is part of me that thinks, well, could there be discrimination involved?
Sure. Well, and you know, now that you brought that up, there's another piece that the listeners, and unless they go look at the show page, which I'm hoping most of you will go look at the show page. Julie actually has the potential to have a couple layers of discrimination because she is a woman of color. And so she's actually got a female coach in a male dominated world, a woman of color, and she's a lesbian. So she's got three big up at bats going for her right here. But you said you haven't really had any of that discrimination come your way either because of being a woman of color and being a lesbian as well, right?
No, yeah. I think I've done pretty well in getting a feel for good environments to be in and surround myself with good people. So I've been super fortunate. But like I said, I still, you know, learn from others' experiences and don't kind of take that for granted.
Well, and I think too, and I'm like you, I feel very fortunate that I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, I've had people shout something at me every once in a while, in a weird while, and it just happens to be if I'm in West Hollywood or something like that. But I've never felt and had the face-to-face discrimination thing happen. And I sometimes wonder if it's because the way I'd show up, that I just show up as this isn't, it's just a piece of me. It isn't like the thing that dominates my life. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people who are like, yes, I'm gay. And I just can't help but feel from my own experiences, because I just show up in the world as Rick. And oh, Rick happens to be gay. That's just kind of the way I look at it. So,
yeah.
So one of the things I always end each of these podcasts with, Julie, and again, you know, I'm so glad we had the sports talk, and I have a feeling I could like have you back again and we could go a whole lot deeper on this, because 30 minutes, we don't get near the time we need. But one of the things I always ask each guest to kind of share is, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge and there's a lot of people looking for guidance and just, you know, any kind of help they could get. And I'm just wondering, is there any piece of advice you would love to share with someone who's maybe coming out, or maybe they are an athlete in the, you know, collegiate athletic world or somewhere, and they just really struggle? And what would be your piece of advice you'd love to leave the listeners with?
I think it's kind of what I referred to before, and that's what I've told everybody is find that strength to kind of speak your truth, even though your voice shakes, because there is somebody out there who will listen to you, and who will love you for it. And that you'll inspire for it. And I think you'll gather strength from there. Yeah. But your story is worth sharing. Your story is most definitely worth sharing.
Yeah.
And so I hope people would really grab onto that.
Yeah. Well, and your story was definitely worth sharing, Julie. I want to say how much I appreciate you taking time to come and be on the Coming Out Lounge. I know it's a busy time of season for you and amidst everything. So good luck with the rest of the season and your team. And thanks so much for being with us today on the Coming Out Lounge.
Thank you so much. And I'd be happy to come back. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, I'm always open for that as well, too.
Awesome. And there'll be some links to some places where you can contact Julie. We'll have her link to the website where she is at Laverne University. And if you've really enjoyed what you've heard today as we have gone through the sporting side of gay life, we could always use a little bit of love. We always like the reviews and ratings that people give over on iTunes, Stitcher, and things such as that. And while you're at it, hop on over to Facebook. And if you like what you're hearing, check out the Coming Out Coach. Become part of the family there. And finally, hey, we all have ways to tweet these days. So if you really like what you heard, start tweeting out about that you heard about some good coming out conversations around the sports world. We'd really appreciate that. You can do that at Rick Clemens and the hashtag Coming Out Lounge. And before we go, one of the things that I want to make sure everybody is aware of is, you know, we all come out in our own ways. And I'm a big advocate for doing it the way that makes you feel good and the way that fits your life. And hopefully, if that's what you're looking for and you're looking for a little bit more guidance, my book will be coming out in just a few weeks. It's called Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. It's a late bloomer's guide to coming out, but there's good stuff in there for anybody who's coming out at any age. So check your favorite places, Amazon, Barnes Noble, any of the places you can pick up books. It will be available in probably the next 6 to 8 weeks. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for another edition of the Coming Out Lounge. But as we always say, go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the Coming Out Lounge, and we'll catch you in just another week. Take care.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.